You talked of eternity a lot. I'd love to know more. Is there more under? You obviously have a lot of confidence and a lot of testimony about who you are and why you're here. And this eternal identity and purpose is so clear with you. I mean, how do we get more of that? How do we build upon or participate more fully in eternity?
There's an occurrence that appears a couple of times in the New Testament. It's called the parable of the sower, where Jesus came to a region and huge crowds gathered, where he asked to get in a boat and back up because things would get crushed, and he created a little moat between his and the people, and he gave what was commonly called the parable of the sower. Sower comes to sow, and a bird comes and steals it. Plant springs up, and the sun comes out and withers. Third one grows up to a mature plant. This will choke it out. The fourth one, it bears fruit 36 and 100 fold. And he says, to him who has ears, let him hear. Well, everybody leaves, except his disciples and those who were continually following him. And he says, do you understand the parable? How are you going to understand all the parables? He says, to you it's been granted to understand the things of the kingdom of God. To who? To disciples. Those who are followers, and everyone else will get it on the outside in parables. Why was there a big crowd? Because the first time Jesus was there, he did all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles, of which I am a proponent. I got teachings on there about it. I believe in all that. But more importantly, this was a teaching not about evangelism. As many people abuse it, and you can take it out of context and use it allegorically. It's more of a teaching about revelation. He says, to disciples, it's been granted to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. If you're not a disciple, people get it, some people don't get it. You get it by a revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Because the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Revelation comes to those who have been born again and are so hungry for God, they want everything God has, and including the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he continued to reveal himself. Revelation doesn't just come for a moment and then you just live off of that. I've been in this for 41 years, and I consider myself not an expert, because ex means has been, and spurt is a drip under pressure. There's lots of those. I'm a learner and a follower. I know a lot of people, and you know, there's much more to learn and much more to get in this life as well as the next one to come. I just think that, but I tell you, lately, and it's not because I'm getting a little more mature. This is just a rinse. This is a very dark person. Makes me look smarter, you know, with these glasses. I hated when I had to get these. I thought my Bible was breaking down. Got this Bible, and this is a cheapy bomb taking it back. He said, the letters are dissolving and sliding around the page. Then I had to get these things. Oh, now it works, you know. And people will always try to say things about, oh, you look nice, you know, you got a haircut, you look nice. When I had these glasses, they said, oh, those are nice. They make you look smart. They make you look debonair. And my dear writer says, making you look just like Benjamin Franklin, but he got on the wrong side of the kite. You know, a lot of people have tried to make comparisons like a bird flying past the Rock of Gibraltar, his wing against the Rock of Gibraltar once every 1,000 years. And when it gets down to a grain of sand, that's like one day of eternity. Well, that sounds like a long time, but it's still finite. Eternity cannot be perceived really in this natural realm. But we can do the eternal things of God, and by revelation, God leads us in things that make for eternal life. Now, we're living, and the Bible says mortality must put on immortality. There's going to become a time when, I already have a recreated eternal spirit that's going to live forever, but I'm going to have a body like the one Jesus had that rose from the dead, which will not have to watch Nutrisystem commercials or buy an ab roller or do that stuff. It will be a supernatural body just like the one Jesus has. The last enemy to be defeated is death. But I already have eternal life. You know, and that's why I refuse to have a midlife crisis. No matter how many over it is I have. Because if you have an eternal life, there is no middle. So I'm just not going to have one. You understand that? Eternity is, but it's the works and the things that count and matter for eternity. That's why Jesus says, don't work just for earthly wages, otherwise your 401k will just become a 101k and you get a retirement. No. That's very relevant right now. He says, but work for the things for eternal life that don't rust, that moths can't eat. In other words, do the things that God set us to do. Now, I tell you, in that, God factors in recreation, family time, art, you know, everything like that. But It's an, I love life. I like to play. I like to enjoy. But I love being in the supernatural power of God. 5 seconds of being under the supernatural power of God, touching another person's life, is more exhilarating than the sights I've seen around the world, jumping out of airplanes, meeting people, whatever. Even my grandchildren. I want one of these guys. Oh, I want to have grandchildren. When it happens to you, become a little stupid. I get off the airplane and drive as fast as I could to the grandchildren's house. Don't even go to the bathroom. Just gives you a crazy love. It's just a hint of how God loves us. You know, at any rate, eternity, I feel so much more inclined to impress people about eternity because your spirit's going to live for eternity. Everybody else is trying to cram. What I was trying to do was cram as much sensation into my temporal life. Actually, I was living literally for the moment. About 30 to 60 seconds of free fall and a 5-minute parachute ride, and that's the way they do it again. Some people do that for a 40-year career, like, I have a big success, and then they get to the top of the mountain and there's nothing there. Because this life has rewards only in the temporary. But eternal rewards last forever. Understand? Does that help you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Someone else over here had a question.
You spoke of Revelation. How many other instances have you had in your life since that time of your near-death experience that God has revealed to you? For instance, I might suggest that He ever revealed to you where you lived before you were born and what you did before you were born. Is there any inkling of the eternity's past besides an eternal future?
No, everything that I have by revelation, certain things He's given me an understanding of from my childhood, you know, some of the things. He's given me like wisdom and understanding of like how to love my dad and you know, and I come, you know, and it's a wonderful thing is my dad, who was an atheist before he died, became more of a believer. My mom, who was more full of fear and superstition as a Roman Catholic, became a wonderful believer. And we have a wonderful healed relationship, my dad and I. But I have revelation, and there's various forms of revelation, from the very slightest little impression to some almost staggering otherworldly revelations. And I had, just for your information, many out-of-the-body experiences when I was so close to death. I even had, and I had some other spiritual experiences where I actually saw the airplane pilot, and this was prior to the incident where I was caught up in the presence of God, but it was somewhere between the accident and that. There was some kind of spiritual dimension, and he was like floating in the air going down, and I was floating up, and there was some kind of like a translucent, like that. I could see him, but he couldn't see me. And I just assumed he must be going down, you know, like down, and I'm going up. Later on, as I thought about it, but in fact, he was the only real believer on the airplane. I was to find out like some 20 some years later. He was the only one who was a believer that was on the airplane. He was a 50-year-old pilot and had a wonderful, beautiful story about how his daughter got helped and everything else. But well, I get revelation all the time, but some of them are very, none of them are small. See, the smallest thing that God does, is, like, here's an oxymoron. Do you like oxymorons? Like military intelligence or jumbo shrimp, that's oxymoron. Small miracle. The smallest thing the Spirit of God does is bigger than anything man will ever do, including build computers, go to the moon, create fuel, whatever. You know, the smallest thing that God does is greater than anything man will ever do, because God is God. And I've had all kinds of revelations. And, for example, like Stephen talked about the near-death experience, some psychologists or psychiatrists or whoever they are try to say, well, what that is, that's the last brain cells dying, giving the person a comforting euphoria. This balagna. I mean, how could my dying brain cells project in the future to see the drug problems, to see me with other people, to see my wife 5 years before I met her, to see, not only to see the house we were going to first own, but walking down this little path out to Rusty Gates, that's where we were going to have, I could actually smell the lilac bushes, smell them in the visions in heaven 6 years before we ever bought the house. Tell my brains of it. Tell me the atheist to describe, to explain that. How does that happen? How does my dying brain cells prophesy into the future something like that? I've had all kinds of revelations, but nothing about anything of my birth. I don't even remember when I was born, amazingly enough. Okay, I think there's a young man next. But it says basketball, I should.
When you said that you saw only 7 years, how come you couldn't see further?
there was a reason why, because for those 7 years, I was kind of struggling, like, what was my purpose? And at that time, you wouldn't know anything about this, we were going through a real big change in our culture in the 1960s, especially in my accident, where there was a big cultural change through music and art and the peace movement and hippies, and there was a lot of different things. And some of that stuff, I was being influenced not only by the kingdom of God, but by the messages of my culture. And I was trying to figure out where I fit in. The problem was, I didn't fit in. I'm here, but I'm a citizen of another realm, of another dimension of heaven. I'm here, and while I'm here, and I love my life here, but I know it's limited. In my life, I am a stranger and an alien. Some people believe I'm a stranger and an alien. My citizenship is in heaven. Some of what people believe make me think they are aliens. I don't know. You know, I can't explain that. And some of what I thought I was believing, I was a little bit alien, actually. And then God, He broke me all down again, and maybe He was stripping everything out of my life until He says, you're going to have to trust me. No promises, just trust to follow me. And that's when I began to walk in what I'm doing now. So there was a reason it was 7 years. Because as God was training me and teaching me, He had to bring me to another point of totally trusting Him and walk through this gate where there was no guarantees except trusting in God. And that's when I began to really do what I was sent back here to do. I mean, I was a nice person. I loved everybody, but I wasn't really doing the stuff. I was learning. I was being discipled by God. It wasn't until I really laid my whole life down and said, you can have it all. He's either Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Even if it's 99%, that ain't quite enough. You can't hold back stuff from God. You need to give it all to God. So He showed those 7 years were, and matter of fact, I often wondered, why was that darkness? It gets so intense. And why did it get down where it was a sliver of that? Because that was the history of my life. For all my life, I lived in darkness. And God gave me a space to repent. Does that make sense to you? It was just the history of my life. And the reason it was getting more rapid, more intense, is because I was getting farther and farther away of just living in this present world. And God gave me this beautiful chance to repent and sent me back here to prove that He is God. I mean, without God, I'm not here.
Mickey, I'm Dave. I really appreciate what you're saying. I've enjoyed your thoughts today. I've been married and divorced twice. I wonder if you could assist me in finding the right woman. No, I'm just... What I'd like to say really is I'd like to acknowledge you for this. I quite enjoyed it. And I have a few questions because, number one, well, I have 101 questions, but there's not enough time. But we're in such turmoil now. Our lives are in such chaos. The world is so upside down. I really enjoyed the way you brought back the greasers and the history and Superman and the cape and all that, James Bond and, my question is what kind of things would you encourage us from what you know from being on the other side, so to speak? What kind of things would you encourage us to do or to get our houses in order? Because so many of us nowadays are worshiping the almighty dollar. That's become our God here on this planet. And there isn't happiness in that kind of thing. So what can we do to put our houses in order so that we can prepare ourselves? Because obviously you've been given a great gift, and I can see that, and you're very passionate about it. And then the other thing I'd like to say is that you think that you have not been able to give any credit, for what you're going through, but I think you've got a lot of credit for just showing up. Thank you.
I appreciate that. First of all, you're very gracious, and I do appreciate that. And I can't take credit for the supernatural things that happen, but there are certain things that facing adversity, finding courage. I'm going to write a book called Interior Courage. There's natural, there's a strong courage, the sacrificial courage, but there's a spiritual courage that you can't do on your own. But you're doing things that are illogical, and I've had to live that way, so I do appreciate that. The first question is, what should we do in this time of uncertainty or turmoil or chaos? One thing we do is simplify. We need to get our house in order by what are the most important things, and that is really putting God first in every area in our life. Now, we can say that. We ask people that. They say, well, is there God's first, family second, church third, then my job, and then America. But you say, well, what did you think about all last month? What got you most, what turned you up? What fascinated you? You know, I was a skydiver, man. You know, I had a bumper sticker. That's all I thought about. That's what I want to talk about. I was totally, I was a devotee, pure and clean. I was the apostle of skydiving, you know. Because I loved it. But it wasn't doing anything for me, except, I mean, and, you know, except make me, give me a sensation. And I used my talent for it. It wouldn't really help anybody's life that much. I mean, people would be great. But, so simplify, get your life in order. God has to be first in every area of your life. Then you have to feed and nurture your spiritual life. It's like spiritual experiences are gates. And you have to keep nurturing it. And it's not all the sensational. Sometimes a spiritual life is just you live by faith every single day. And you get up every morning. I can't live off of what happened almost 41 years ago. I have to, just like, you know, my wife and I got married. You know, if I don't tell her I love her, we're going on a date, if I don't do that, then this is really have a tendency to wear things down. Well, our relationship with God has to be nurtured. Or like a fire, it has to be fanned into flame and kindled and fueled. And so there are things that help our lives. Secondly, ask God to fill you with His love. Because love never fails. Knowledge, wisdom, all those things are all really good. But love never fails. I mean, how could I love when I was rejected by the girl I was going to get engaged to? All my friends were gone away. All my abilities were gone. And I was the happiest, most confident, and joyful when my total life was trashed. And then God took me through transitions of healing and all that. And people were blown away. I mean, they sent a psychiatrist up to see if I was okay after all my trauma. And he started telling me, Israel was active, you can make an appointment on Thursday. Because everything he asked me, I just said, no, that's not a problem. He said, well, I know that you're really hiding the, you know, the depression and the hopelessness that's in your life, that what you're saying. You know, I'm really feeling really good about what's going on. And I'm getting out of here, and I'm going to be jumping on airplanes, and I got a whole lot. And everything he asked me, I came up with the wrong answer that he expected. Because I was speaking out of something that came from God. It's called a new life. And it's called, the Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not just when you just go to heaven, right here on earth. And that's the thing that I realize it more now than I did back then, because I was just, my assignment then, I believe, was to receive healing and walk in new life and to get better. And then I began to study every kind of religion in the world, every scientific, every, and it came down to, and then I began to meet people, and it just kept coming down to the purity and the simplicity of being devoted to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, let me bear with me a little. I betrothed you to one husband, even Christ. And don't be deceived the way he was deceived, from the simplicity and the purity of being devoted to Jesus. Again, pull it all down. God's only got one church. There's 3,300 denominations all over the world that use the name Jesus. He's only got one church that's redeemed. It's a covenant people. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, who promised to send Jesus the Messiah. And even Israel is going to come to the knowledge of God. You know, because that's a plan. And I have a real love for Israel. But I want to see America fulfill its destiny. I don't want to see America. We talk about uncertainty. I grew up here. If you remember, I remember the most was President Kennedy. He was a young American president who was full of promise. And less than 1,000 days, he was cut down. And, you know, everybody, you know, if you're alive, then you remember where you were when Kennedy was shot. You know, like, you remember where you were when 9/11 happened. Well, that was like that image of the new America emerging from the Second World War. He was a warrior of that generation. We need to speak to these generations' hope. And then the third thing I would say is to give life to someone else. Help other people. And in doing that, God will meet your needs. He'll help you. So simplify. We need to simplify our lives. People are so wound up and wired. And you know, when this thing started crashing, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, you know, whatever it was, people were thinking, what can I have that's valuable? What can I sell? Or what can I keep? I'll tell you what you can have. A relationship with God, who's faithful. When everything else fails, He won't fail you. I've lived by faith. Well, I'm to be honest with you, my background, I have a full background in finances because I was in the stock market. I'm the chairman of our board, works for a financial institution in Toronto, Canada, a very prestigious one. And we look at the natural, we can freak out and be scared. But when you look to the Lord, who's in charge of everything. And I've heard everything predicted from America is going to be great to America is finished. I'm just saying, I'm looking for the kingdom. And so it's simplify, make the Lord first in every area of your life, stir up and nurture your relationship in God. And for me, I do that by praying, worshiping, reading the scripture, listening to it. You know, I feed my spirit, and I'm around people that are gifted that, like, it's because I have certain gifts, that doesn't mean other ones aren't important to me. Those things ignite the fire in me even more. So I'm around wonderful people that are edifying, and that builds me up. And then third, whatever you have, give away to someone else who doesn't have. And that there's a law of reciprocity, you know what reciprocal is. See, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if people complain and murmur and they're bummed out and they're negative and they believe for negativity, that's going to come back. If you speak life, if you bless and don't curse, if you help someone else, then God will bring that back to you. Now, I think it's simplified, isn't it?
Well, for one thing, I wanted to praise God for humanity. It's pretty interesting. I've read your book too. But anyway, I had two questions. The second one, I guess you don't have to answer if you don't want to. But my first question was, did you, let's say, ever receive any visions of, scenery in heaven? I know, I think you mentioned the river of blood.
Did I see?
Scenery in heaven, mountains or buildings or anything like that. And the second question I had is, I'm basically, you can say a Pentecostal Christian. I was wondering if you've ever had the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues.
That's what I said when I came back, and I was alive, and the beautiful language would come out of my mouth, and I had never heard of that. And I heard this beautiful language, and I was standing next to myself, and what's going on? As soon as I thought about it, it stopped. But it happened again. A man came in my room about a month later. They had evacuated our intensive care department because the man had been in a terrible car accident. I think he broke every bone in his body. He had a cast from his wrists to his ankles up to his neck. And he got a staph infection, and that could have killed not only me, but a couple of other patients who were in intensive care. So they immediately evacuated, and they had to take all the equipment out and scrub it. So they set up kind of an intensive care on the first floor, which had open access. And some dude come in one day, and for some reason there wasn't any visitors. My family wasn't there, but he just come cruising up and said, and I'm laying there, and I'm still, and this is after I'd gone into heaven and come back, but I was still weak. I couldn't lift my arm, scratch my face. I was still flat as a pancake. So he introduced, hello, and all right. And can I pray for you? And nobody asked that, so I said, sure. So he prayed for me, and he opened it. He's got to read something in the Bible. He opened the Bible, and he started to read. As soon as he started reading the Bible, something started to shake down in my stomach. And it started vibrating. And my arms started flapping up and down. My legs started, I can't move a muscle. I don't have any strength. The bars in the bed were clanging inside of me. And it was like it was building up. And I didn't say something. My head was going to pop off like a champagne cork. It was pressure. So I sat up and I said, I got to be some kind of a preacher or something. I've been reborn. He goes, whoa, buddy. Whoa, easy, easy. He says, no. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. I said, I'm going to get a nurse. He goes, whoa, easy. He's gone. He's out of there. You just see morning prayer. Local pastor kills helpless burn victim. You know, I'm having some kind of a seizure. I'm flapping so violently. And I said, I spew out of my mouth. What came out of my mouth? When the Holy Spirit heard the word of God read, got excited, and out of my mouth came my first prophetic word. I had to be some kind of, and I am some kind of a preacher or something, and I've been reborn. I hadn't even heard of that before. I hadn't even heard of that term born again or reborn. But that, I believe that ignited not only my healing, but it began to ignite my destiny. So yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And if it happened in heaven, and that's with somebody's theology, I can't help it. It's very easy to be spiritual in heaven. There's no unbelief. There's no doubt. There's no demons. There's no people in bad moods. No midlife crisis, no one on PMS, everything. It's just easy to be spiritual. It's a wonderful environment. Earth takes more of God. So you need more of the Holy Spirit than you ever eat. There's never too much. I don't know anybody who ever overdosed on the Holy Ghost. I would just take as much as you can. Go for all of it, okay? So yeah, to answer your question.
Anyway, what I'd like to do first...
Where's the person talking? I'm sorry.
I'd like to thank you for coming tonight because you have been so inspirational. To hear your experience has really touched me. I'm wondering if there's any particular religion. Are you still a Roman Catholic? Or you said that you've looked at a lot of religions after this happened to you.
Well, the word Catholic with small c means universal. And I have over 1 million miles on just American Airlines. So I guess I'm a Roman Catholic.
Well, no, I've never said that before.
So.
I've never said that before, so you win the prize.
Pulling that out of me.
I said, I am. I believe there's only one church. The scripture says that there's one Lord, one church, one baptism, one Father over all. There's one Holy Spirit, we're all one. When this is all over, all those things aren't going to matter. But to really, there's been many interpretations and misinterpretations of the things of God. And I do not believe there's multiple paths towards God. I believe there's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself. It's either Jesus told everything that Jesus said is true, or he's a big liar. He said, no man comes to the Father but through me. He didn't say, I'll show you the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. Now that happened to me before I understood all of those words. But by so I believe there are people who cry, look up, let's say there's some, well, there was some native in the middle of some jungle in Africa, and his tribe worshipped monkeys, and they carved them out of wood, and they looked at this, and they go, well, our tribesmen made these monkeys, but God made all of this, and they look up at the sky, and he says, God, I cry out to you, the Creator. See, even creation reveals the glory of God. I believe that God will reveal himself to people, and whatever form of revelation that is, but ultimately, it's through Jesus Christ, and only Jesus.
Beginning of your lecture, you said you feel like more spiritual things are happening in recent years, and maybe we could talk about that one where there was a question and answer. So I would like to ask you to talk about that. What did you mean by that?
Well, in my little knowledge of world history, spiritual things, there would be like a move of the spirit in one location and would send like ripple effect or shockwaves to other places. Now God is moving in almost every single country that can be known on the earth. And there's more happening in the area of people being converted. I just heard a story yesterday that the Nepalese government is opening the door for Christianity to be broadcast on the radio, which is their only form of communication. That there actually is a church here in Park City who's going to underwrite the whole thing. It's for the gospel to be preached in a place where communism and Chinese atheism and the Dalai Lama and all that. Doors are opening in places that were, in my lifetime, formerly closed. And also, the areas, not only of conversion, but supernatural things, healings, deliverance, are happening massively in an accelerated way in the last 3 or 4 years. Like, I've been in this, you know, in a public way for over 36 years. I've never seen the amount of spiritual activity amongst common people, everyday people, not just ministers, platform people, people with, you know, full-time ministry, but children, men, women, no matter what age, what background, praying for people and having supernatural things happen. So there's been an acceleration of spiritual events all over the world. All over the world. And it's documented. I got a group of people in Fargo, North Dakota, some doctors that came to our conference in Minneapolis. They had over 200 healings and miracles in the hospital in Fargo, including 9 people raised from the dead by doctors in a hospital. That's medically, that's evidence that's medical. So that's unheard of in my lifetime. Understand that? Where doctors are giving credit to God. Usually they're trying to play God. That's what they're doing. Now they're working with them.
Okay, one last question. I'm going to ask it. Tell us a little bit about your wife and how she's helped you and what she is to you.
Barbara, I met in 1973, and she fell in love with me. And the strange thing, the first night we were together in her home, she never saw any of my scars. I find it hard to believe, but that's what it was. And the fact is that I wasn't looking for them. I didn't want to date or hurt anybody because I had been hurt. And there were two other people that were in my life that I felt they thought they were in love with me. And I like, so I just said, that's it. I don't want to do this dating thing. So God, if you got somebody for me, send that person in my life. And so I met Barbara, but it didn't last very long. I fell in love with her very soon, and we started our life together. And after 2.5 years, we had our first son, Michael, and we had 4 children, 3 boys and a girl. And they're wonderful. And I tell you, she came to the Lord about a month after we met at a rock and roll concert where this young guitarist who was in a secular rock band, but he had experienced a personal encounter with the Lord. And he boldly shared in front of all these hippies, all the time his faith. And he asked people if they wanted to have Jesus as their Lord at this secular rock concert where everybody's smoking marijuana and got long hair. And Barbara stood up and accepted the Lord again. She is such a transformed person. And all I can say is I got I'm way over married. I punted way beyond my credit. Beautiful, she's talented, and she's a wonderful housemate. The things that she's good at, I'm weak at. The things that I'm good at, I can encourage her in. But together, you know, we're still growing together in love. And we're at a stage in our life now where our kids are married and we're having kids. And we're enjoying dating like we never have before. And we enjoy just walking. It takes work in a relationship, just like the relationship with the Lord. If you don't put love into it, it will wear down. You have to renew. You have to renew your mind, you renew your heart. And because things in this present world are combating with the good things of God. They're emanating towards God, including that important relationship, marriage and family and children and friends. And some friendships are strong, they're for a season, and that doesn't mean you become unfriendly, you don't have to break it off, but I don't think we can handle intimacy with 100 people. You know what I'm saying? Friends, real friends, are few. I'm very friendly, and I've got people think I know everybody in the world. I have to every day, but I call my wife if I'm not with her every day, and I call my kids all the time. Not because I'm insecure, because I love them that much. And they call me, we have a relationship, not kids, they're my best friend. And that is such an honor. We live in a very combatant world against the things that are the most important to God. And this isn't about who's married and who divorced. It's about where we're at right now, how we can have the right kind of life right now. God is, His mercy and His grace goes way beyond my faith. And God is merciful. He says His mercies are new every day. And people should never give up. I could have stopped progressing at any point in my both my healing and my spirit. I could be in a wheelchair in a nursing home right now, making wallets. And God would still be a merciful God if I went to heaven. But the process that He had me through, where not only did I heal and get married, but He sent me all over the world to be represented, to be an ambassador to Him. Only God could do that. I mean, it's like a joke. It's like a mockery of the devil. Now, He's a mess. Now let me take him. Let's see what I can do. Take something worthless and make something useful out of it. That's like a mockery to the devil. You know? And I enjoy being used of God. And it's such your questions and curious things are very much appreciated, but I just want to glorify God. Even though I face some terrible trials, I want to declare His strength to all generations, to the generation that has come. I want to impress people, not so much with me, but impress them that only God, and I feel God in that man's life. I want to have so much radiance that I give you a tan. I want to affect people with the love of God, that I am a sign bearer, and a sign points to something. A sign isn't in and of itself intrinsically valuable unless it leads to the person and the personality of the living God. And that's what I do, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm very pleased that the Lord is saved, because of Jesus Christ, because of God the Father. I am here these many years, and I have this story to tell, along with a lot of other things that are on the tape table, the book table teachings and all that. Your question about my wife. She is a handful. She's high performance, like a Ferrari. High maintenance. If you want something good, guys, don't buy a Ford F-150. Go for the Lamborghini or the Ferrari. Whatever it takes to take care of it, it's worth it, because you get high performance. That's